I got a call about a quarter of eight this morning from Donna, and Mickey is not doing very well. He didn't, I believe, sleep very much at all last night, so I'm going to be conducting class this morning, and Chris is going to have the lesson this morning. As we begin our class this morning, John, could I get you to direct us in prayer? Let's open our class books to pages 34 and 35. And we're going to talk about this morning the topic of all spiritual blessings being in Christ. You'll have to bear with me a little bit this morning. It was, I had to try and pull a lesson together very quickly this morning. But that's what happens sometimes. Okay. Now, this lesson, if I've got my Roman numerals correctly, lesson 14. The grandeur and glory of the church and all spiritual blessings are therein. And by the way, let's turn to the first chapter of Ephesians this morning. We're going to be primarily in the first chapter of Ephesians. And if we had to give a theme to the book of Ephesians, we could probably say that the book of Ephesians is primarily about the mystery of God in the church. I'll tell you what. I'll give you mine.
Is it possible to get one?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh, it's already got notes in it. Hey. Okay. Make it easier, right? Okay, so in the book of Ephesians, if we want to understand what the book of Ephesians is about, we could probably think of it, as we've seen in studying recently the second and third chapters of Ephesians, that the theme of the book of Ephesians could be expressed as the mystery of God in the church. And that mystery, specifically being, as we see in the third chapter of Ephesians, that both Jew and Gentile were going to be reconciled together in one body. And yet, your book says that all spiritual blessings are therein, or, in the context of the lesson, in the church. But yet, Ephesians 1:3 says that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So, how is it that all spiritual blessings are in the church, and yet if Paul writes to the Ephesians and says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ? David?
The church is stated to be his body.
Okay. The church is his body. Can you be in Christ without being in the church? Can you be in the church without being in Christ? Just kind of quickly, how would you demonstrate that from Scripture?
In Acts 2:38, when they were baptized, God added to the church. Okay, church is universal. So when you become a Christian, you are enrolled in the church.
Okay. When you become a Christian, you are enrolled in the church. And Paul wrote to the Galatians about how we put on Christ. How do we put on Christ? Roy? Okay. And what verse is that? Okay, Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so there we see that we're baptized into Christ. And what did Paul write on this subject to the Corinthians? In the first letter to the Corinthians, and in chapter 12 and verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body." We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into the church. To be in the church is to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the church. You can't be in one without being in the other. Now, Paul's writing to the Ephesians and he says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, a lot of times we talk about this verse from the standpoint of being in Christ and where spiritual blessings are. But let's take some time out for just a few moments this morning and see if we can uncover from Scripture what are these spiritual blessings that are talked about in the third verse here of Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, you know what? There are spiritual blessings involving God the Father. And coincidentally, where do you think you would find those? Perhaps enumerated. Well, let's take a look at verse 4, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now there in verses 4, 5, and 6, remember in verse 3 He says all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and then in verse 4 He says to the Ephesians, He, meaning God the Father, He chose us. We're chosen. And in the fifth verse, predestined us to adoption as sons. And in the sixth verse, we are He made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted by God. These, as David is mentioning, these three points here that Paul is writing about, these are spiritual blessings that involve God the Father. He chose us, He predestined us to adoption as sons, and He accepted us. Now, according to the notes that I have, the word chosen here, and Richard will check me out on this, comes from the Greek word eklegomai, however that's pronounced, eklegomai, but it means to pick out, means to choose. And it actually means to choose for oneself. And it's a derivative of the word ekloge, ekloge, meaning the act of picking out or choosing related to election. Okay? So God chose us for Himself. And as we see, this was before the foundation of the world. So so before the foundation of the world, God made His choice. God chose Christians.
God chose the plan by which we have access to the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right, we'll have more to say about that a little later, if I get through everything. Okay, so David, as a matter of fact, would you turn over to 2 Peter, I think in the first chapter, and read verse 10. I'm sorry, David Skinner. Okay. I didn't. No, I said 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's see if that sounds better.
Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do those things, which then you shall never fail.
Okay. And as we've discussed here in the past, we see from 2 Peter 1 and 10 that this choosing, this picking out, this election is not, there aren't the names of individuals listed here. This is, we've borrowed a term from modern day English, this is a corporate election. These are Christians. Yes, Joey. That's right. You do. Okay. So the objects of this choosing or picking out for himself, the objects are Christians. And the purpose of all this is that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The purpose here of God's, because let's recall, what does Romans 3 and 23 have to say about mankind? That's right. So mankind has a problem with sin. So God was going to have, in effect, a bunch of sinners to work with, and God was going to pick out those and choose those who would obey him. For the purpose here, as stated, that we should be holy. God picked out a certain class, as Joey referred to, a certain set of individuals, Christians, for the purpose of being set apart. Isn't that what the word holy means? And Christians are set apart for a certain purpose. Without blame. Christians are those who have obeyed the word. They have been redeemed. They have been forgiven of their sins. They're without blame. And without blame before him in love. Yes, David.
But that's not possible without Christ.
But that's not possible without Christ, because someone had to step in and pay the price for our sins. Roy? Yes.
Now, when we get into that, where how they looked at it as, you know, sons, fathers, and like heirs, and we're talking about a kingdom, right? Can you explain kind of how that works? Like, we're sons, we're adopted in, and there's blessings being a son of Jesus, right?
Yes, and you're right. Hopefully we'll get to that. That's actually part of the lesson. Now, okay, so we see spiritual blessing here of being chosen, and we're predestined. We're predestined as sons in Christ. And the word predestined here comes from the Greek word pro or idso. See, Richard, I can get through it. P-R-O-O-R-I-Z-O. And it actually, of course, it means to predetermine. And that carries with it the meaning to decide beforehand. So this verse speaks about God deciding beforehand, and the subjects of the predestination in verse 5, predestined us to adoption by Jesus. So again, looking at the pronoun us, Paul is talking here about the church, about Christians. Now, the purpose, as Roy is asking about, of this adoption, well, of this predestination, I should say, is adoption as sons. So, the church, comprised of Christians are adopted as his children. We are part of the family of God. And the basis of this predestination is this. Paul writes, according to the good pleasure of his will. So simply stated, it pleased God to adopt Christians as his children. So, he chose us. He predestined us as his children, to be adopted as his children. That's the second spiritual blessing we read of here that Paul's talking about. And now, Paul says in the sixth verse that he made us accepted in the beloved. And I thought this was a very interesting word, this word accepted. Now, it comes from the Greek word keratoo. Keratoo means to be highly favored. So Christians are highly favored by God. And Richard, could you read Luke 1 and 28?
I suppose so. How's this fitting? Luke 1:28, and he came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Lord is with thee.
Okay. Now, who is that talking about there?
Mary.
And Mary is highly favored. I think, Richard, if you look behind that, that may be in Luke 1:28 there, the same word that is translated here in the sixth verse as accepted. Okay. So we are highly favored by God. It's the same word, okay. And notice we are highly favored in the beloved. Here's what we get back to this, talking about just the way we started out this morning, in the beloved, in we are accepted, we are highly favored by God when we are in Christ, when we are in the church. Yes, David. You are going to be in that few who find eternal life.
When I say highly favored, it gives more meaning. It's not just a little favor, that's highly favored.
No, highly favored, yes. Joey?
Yeah, you're going to consider how highly favored we are or how much God values us. Let's not forget the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to die a horrible death on the cross for us. In so doing, God shows us how valued we are in His sight.
It all fits together like a glove, doesn't it? So look at these spiritual blessings, going back to what David said earlier, that there are spiritual blessings here involving God the Father. He chose us. He predestined us to adoption as sons so that we're part of His family. And because we're part of His family, Roy, we'll see, hopefully later, we are going to have an inheritance. That comes as a result of being part of His family. And because we are chosen by Him, we are His children, we're adopted as children, we're highly favored. Joey? Love the world.
You see that extra emphasis there in the word about the extreme value that God places on us.
Roy?
This favor we're talking about, is that the favor of the whole scheme of redemption, or is that favor in everyday life?
We're talking about spiritual matters here.
This is spiritual.
Yeah, there's no such thing as building up an accounts receivable with God, if you will. I mean, just simply because we become a Christian, you know, doesn't mean we're going to have as some like to try and teach, we're going to have 5 or 6 cars and $1 million home and a huge bank account. Well, the context here are spiritual matters and adopted as children in the church, and we have an inheritance. We have eternal life.
Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to
separate the two.
The definition of spiritual, sometimes it's hard for someone like me to see that. It's not really there to touch.
David?
By living the Christian life and attaining the spiritual blessings, we do have physical blessings because of that. If you're not doing some of the things that other people would do in the carnal world, there's going to be some problems that you never have to deal with. They give us a free slate. When you become a Christian, the laws of gravity is still body you. If you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground, just like anybody else.
Right.
Along with, if you, you know, did certain things for a number of years, you still have to pay those consequences. But there are things as a Christian that because we're striving to live the Christian life, we don't deal with some of the other problems that people in the world would have to deal with. And then also the problems that we do have the comfort of talking to God about it and that kind of peace that you don't have in the carnal world also.
Also, Penny, what David is talking about, the scripture does say that the way of the sinner is hard. And there are many things in this life that you could engage in the world. And as a result of doing that, there are consequences. And there are consequences that can last throughout your entire life and consequences down through generations in your family. And if you lead the life of a Christian, you shouldn't be engaging in certain actions in the world that have certain consequences. And that's what David is talking about. And that, as David said, you wouldn't then have the consequences to deal with in the physical world.
I said, well, those sort of things, like Haiti, you can't control. That was an act of nature. I don't feel that has anything to do with God, per se. But there's a lot of times when you want to talk to somebody, and I'm just scared to because I don't have the answers for them. Therefore, kind of dimming my light on the world as a Christian. To explain it like David did makes sense to me. I can't explain Haiti. I just can't. And I don't know if anybody can. That's where the mystery of God and bad things still happen. We are separated from Him. But it's just, I like to be more of a good influence on people. Sometimes I feel like I can. It bothers me.
Chris?
Yeah, in talking about the, how we're blessed. 2 Peter 1:3 talks about the precious and magnificent promises that those who are in Christ have. And one of those, I think you have to, you're going to enumerate some of those precious promises, but we'd have to include again, like Matthew 6:33, that if we're going to seek Him first and His righteousness, that the necessities of life, God's going to take care of that which we need. And understanding that means that our needs will be met, not our wants. Also understand that, Paul in Philippians chapter 4 talks about the fact that he had times in his life when he had more than he needed. He had times in his life when he had less than he needed. But, he said in all things, he could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And
Philippians 4:13.
A sense of contentment, a sense of peace that governs our lives, whether we have more, whether we have less. That comes from knowing our relationship with God is what it needs to be.
And let's see, I'm trying to think of what David wrote in Psalms. I may get it reversed. 37, 38, or 38, 37, or is it in the 23rd chapter of Psalms? I have been young and now I am old and I have not seen the children of God begging bread. Okay, John, I'm sorry. That's a good thought.
Joseph, he was thrown in jail the whole time, trusting God, and eventually became the second command of all of them, and was able to bring all his people to save them.
Joey?
Playing right into what happened. Okay. It's just, well, the Lord knows now that it is.
Okay, and David?
Well, the whole book of Job shows that patience of Job, but also shows that the devil does stuff to people to try to get them. Doesn't say God did it, but the devil does it. Good, bad things happen to good people. And it is a test, and that is a trial. But, that happened to Job, that happened to other people. He just missed Joseph. And he was a good person, but some bad things happened to him. Those are all tests and trials to the devil trying to get him to come over to his side. Even Jesus was tempted, and then Peter, you know, talked about this is not going to happen to you. That was still a temptation to Jesus, a temptation to the hardest thing, temptation to trials and things that we're going to go through to make us a better Christian, to give us that strength to overcome.
Okay, now, the time is kind of getting away from me in class here. But if, you know, if we start out at the fourth verse of the first chapter of Ephesians through, I think, about the 14th verse of this chapter, what we see, and David started hitting on the idea here earlier in class, we see spiritual blessings that Paul writes about in these verses, in these approximately 10 verses or so, some involving the Father, that He chose us, He predestined us to adoption as sons, that He has accepted us in the Beloved or in Christ. Now, there are some, not oddly enough, there are spiritual blessings involving Christ. And we'll see that there are spiritual blessings involving the Holy Spirit. So there are blessings involving the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let's start out in the 7th verse. In Him we have redemption through His blood, of course. There's a spiritual blessing there involving Christ. We have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. There's another spiritual blessing involving Christ. Because it is because of Christ that we can have forgiveness of sins. We can contact that blood through baptism. And having made, in the 9th verse, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. So, in the 9th verse, He made known to us His will. There's another spiritual blessing involving Christ. And, or we should say maybe, considering the words made known, they're a spiritual blessing, simply that He revealed His will to us. And in the 11th verse, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will. So we have obtained an inheritance. So it is through Christ we can be adopted as sons of God and obtain an inheritance. So, we see Paul writing here that there are certain spiritual blessings involving Christ, that He redeemed us, He forgave us, He revealed His will to us, and that He gives us an inheritance. And regarding the Holy Spirit, And we'll back up then and talk about some of the spiritual blessings in Christ. But notice that there are spiritual blessings involving the Holy Spirit here. In the 13th verse, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed with the Spirit, and we have, according to the 14th verse, the Holy Spirit as our guarantee of our inheritance. So we have two spiritual blessings involving the Holy Spirit, a seal and a guarantee. So at least before class ends, I got these spiritual blessings enumerated out there. But let's kind of backtrack and talk about some of the spiritual blessings in Christ. Back in the 7th verse, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that Greek word for redemption, but yeah, it is maybe a little bit long. But it means a releasing effected by payment of ransom, or the deliverance as a result of the payment of a ransom. David, could you read 1 Peter, going along with what you just said, 1 Peter chapter 1, I think verses 18 and 19. 5 minutes, huh?
Okay. You know that it was not perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but the empty way of life handed down to you from the forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect.
Okay, so when we look at those verses there in 1 Peter, as part of the context of what's being said here, remote context of what's being said here in Ephesians, we see that we've been redeemed from the bondage of sin, haven't we? A price was paid, the blood of Christ. Now that's certainly a spiritual blessing. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. By Christ's blood. And then we see he's forgiven us. And the Greek word for forgiveness is aphesis, aphesis. And its meanings include release from bondage or imprisonment, forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, and also, interestingly enough, remission of the penalty. Now, isn't that interesting? The penalty for our sins would be death, but we've been remitted by this forgiveness from that penalty. So what's been forgiven is our sins. Our sins are forgiven. we have freedom from the bondage of those sins. And God revealed His will to us. Actually, probably over the last two or three weeks, Mickey has probably talked quite a bit about the revelation of the will of Christ to us. So I won't, I don't think I'll really repeat that, but Roy, we've been given an inheritance as children of God, another spiritual blessing. As a matter of fact, I think even in the 18th verse, Paul also talks about the inheritance of the saints. But the immediate context here talks about our inheritance. Roy?
Would it be safe to say that inheritance is eternal life? It talks about the price he paid for... I just closed my book. I think it's the 17th verse. Where he says... Oh, no, 14? 13 and 14... No, 14. He says the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And right before that, he's talking about the inheritance. So is that what you're talking about? Eternal life?
Okay, well, okay, that's a good question. What do we think? Is the inheritance eternal life?
That's definitely part of it.
That's definitely part of it, isn't it? That's it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. There you go. Oh, thanks.